let me know. We'll share on it. I'm going to share tonight. Somebody asked about humility. Would you, Brother Angelo, would you share something on humility? And yes, the title of this thought tonight is Thoughts on Humility. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 4, and we've only got three places to go. And I hope, as usual, there'll be some of these kids help me to do communion. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 6. And this is what the word says there. Father, in Jesus' name, your word is anointed. Your word is blessed. Father, open the ears and the understanding of all of the believers here tonight, Father. Let them hear something that will help them and give them a good direction. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. I still got that $7. Okay. This is what the word says in James. She will. She's not kidding. This is what the word says there. I'm going to read a piece of these verses right here in James chapter 4. God opposes the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. I believe humility actually comes from God. The very essence of humility and what humility is comes from God. Verse 7 says, so humble yourselves, therefore, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Now, I want to say this here. God opposes the proud. You know, when a person is born again and they receive the spirit of salvation, that spirit is a spirit of deep humility that loves God, that looks up to God, and looks at God as the very essence of their life, the beginning of their life from that point on. He creates situations to humble people that have a problem with pride. Now, if you're a child of God, he does. Now, what if you're not a child of God? Well, you know what? Everybody in this world, we are free moral agents. That's the way God made us. We can do anything that we want. Life is a gift, and God is great about that. And God didn't come to condemn us, even the people that say no to God. How do you say no to God? Just don't show up. Just don't talk to him. Just don't live for him. He'll get the picture. Because at the end, when we go before God, Jesus said this, those that come to me on judgment day that are going to be in the lake of fire, that some of them are going to say, no, wait a minute. I did this. I did that. I turned from certain things. And I want to share something with you. Nobody is coming to Christ by being holy. Nobody. The word says, all we as sheep have gone astray. Nobody gets there because we're so great. Jesus said something that it took me a while, many years ago when I got saved. In 1971, where Jesus said, depart from me. Cast them out of here. Cast them away. Depart from me. I never knew you. He never said, you ain't holy enough. He said, I never knew you. See, I got news for every last one of us on this earth. None of us is holy enough. Now, I was part of a movement, the Word of Faith movement, and which I don't completely agree with anymore. I love them. I have nothing against them. But somebody that greatly influenced me in the last 15, 20 years is Billy Graham. And Billy Graham, even after he was saved for a long time, he said, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm saved because God is good. And he gave his only begotten son John 3:16, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but they would have eternal life. And verse 17 says this here, and Jesus said this, for the Son of Man did not come into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Now, to be saved, a person has to be willing. And that depends on you more than God. His salvation and the grace of God that leads to salvation has appeared to all men, teaching them that to denying certain things and embracing the cross, that's how we receive eternal life. No other way. No other way. Now, the word says, be holy even as I am holy. And we should be holy. We should work toward holiness. Holiness is not a bad thing. It's just not a requisite to salvation. Because as we get around the Lord and he saves us and his Holy Spirit indwells us, he takes us into holiness. He leads us. One of the things he leads us in to holiness is which to act like God and to turn away from things that God says are not for his creation, his people. So God opposes the proud people. And you know, when I got saved, I still had problems. And I began to realize that. And one of them was pride in my life. And other things, many other things. And he began to deal with me as a son. The word says, raise your sons and daughters, teach them about me. Raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they grow older, they won't depart from it. And that's what God does with us. Those that he loves, he corrects, he disciplines, and he changes us into the image. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if anybody is in Christ, they are beginning to become a new creation. Old things are progressively beginning to change in their life, and all things are beginning to be new in their life. It's a process. It's not instantaneous. It's like me, all of you that are born again, you know that that's the truth. You didn't stop having bad thoughts until you started working on your thought life. You didn't stop with bad words and doing bad things until you worked on it. And the Lord shows us what things he wants us to work on. So, but God forgives. God opposes the proud. He sets himself against them. But he creates situations to humble them. And God forgives and helps those who are humble. In order, humility is what is needed when you receive Christ. And to stay in Christ, you have to stay humble. You have to, as the song says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will while I am waiting. Yielded and still. That is what humility is, Christian humility. Knowing where your bread is buttered, know who the boss is, and being able to look at your life. I knew in my life that I needed salvation. I knew I was very, very lost. But true humility is the attitude and the act of placing other people first, putting other people before you, is biblical humility. Other people's needs, other people's feelings, trying not to hurt people's feelings and stuff. It's walking humbly under God, recognizing God's blessing on your life and personal achievements, recognizing that God gives you the ability to do wonderful things. It is God that does. The opposite of humility is what? The opposite of humility is pride. And there's no place in a believer's life for pride. You don't see one man or woman of God in the New Testament that is on God's side that exemplified pride. And Jesus himself was not proud, boastful, arrogant. That's just not the way he was. The opposite of humility, as I said, is pride. Pride, the Word of God says, comes before a fall. Whenever somebody, saved or unsaved, when they just start to exemplify pride, that comes before a fall. You have to get a hold of that. In just a few moments, we're going to have communion. And when we have communion, we're going to examine our heart, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When you take communion, right before you take communion, you're supposed to examine yourself. See if there's something in your life that God is trying to work out of your life. And then if there is, you confess it to the Lord. You talk to him about it. Say, God, help me with that problem. Yes, Lord, I see that problem. Help me, Father. Help me to change. And he will. Pride comes before a fall. Humility is recognizing your weaknesses and your faults. Learning from others. There's some people that can't, just like, they don't think they can learn anything from anybody. I can learn something from kids. I'm still learning and love to learn. And to learn something, you have to put your ears back and say, teach me something. Show me how to do this or how to do that. I have a lot of interests, and there's a lot of things I still want to learn to do. Humility, being humble, is listening to and celebrating the accomplishments of other folks. That's humility. There's some people in our lives, we meet them, and whatever we tell, we might tell it out of a pure heart, just wanting to say, I just want to give God glory for this. Well, they've always got to have something better. And that's not what God wants us to do. I am by no means getting everything here about humility tonight, but I'm going to give you some things to really, really think about. What was an example, one of the great examples of Jesus showing humility is when he washed the feet of his disciples before the Passover. Turn with me to John chapter 13, and I'm going to show you what Jesus said about humility. There was nobody more, no more perfect or humble than Jesus. I'm going to start reading actually in the sound booth. I'm going to start reading from John chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Okay? And this is what it says there in my NLT, New Living Translation. Before the Passover celebration, which is where we get our Easter, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Verse 2. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, and he took off his robe and wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then Jesus began to wash the feet of his disciples, drying them with the towel he had around him. Jesus when Jesus came to Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? He was really saying, you're not washing my feet. You're the Son of God. You're just not going to do that. But Jesus wanted to give every one of us something to see. Even April the 8th, 2026, right here in the River Valley, right here at Paris Christian Center, he wanted us to see something clearly. He wanted to give an expressive teaching of what it means to be humble and what he wanted all of his children to do. And Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, Peter, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never, ever wash my feet. I mean, now, you know, some of us carry our shoes around. But Peter, he always, you know, some of us wear our shoes on our feet, but Peter always carried his around. And he was quite willing to put his foot in his mouth all the time. So in 1 second, I want you to see this, he's saying, no way, Jose, no, Jesus, you are not washing my feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. So here it is. Wait a minute, Jesus. I thought that over. Then not only my feet, but wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet, if that's the case. And Jesus replied, a person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet. It was a traditional thing in the time of Jesus when people went to one another's house, they would wash their feet or at least give them the basin and something to wash their feet. It was just an act of respect to people. It was an act of humility. It was the way God wants us to be. A person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. He was talking about Judas. And after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher, and you call me Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And said, I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You ought to wash each other's feet. I'm going to tell you, when Millie and I first moved here, I was not raised in the church. I did not go to church much until I got born again. When I came to Arkansas in 1982, we attended a Free Will Baptist church, beautiful people. A friend of mine was pastoring there. And they had foot washing services at that church. The women would be on one side, the men would be on the other, and they would. And you know what? It was a very pleasant activity of humility. It showed you what Jesus was trying to say right here. And since I am your Lord and teacher, and I have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing these things. You know, when we treat one another as the Bible describes that we should, it opens up the blessings of God on our life. Furthermore, when we can turn the other cheek and we can treat our enemies as Jesus taught, treated his enemies. It opens up the blessings of God. Humility is a characteristic that God blesses in our life if we will do what he says. I want to go to one more place tonight. I'd like to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Follow with me if you would. I'll read from starting from verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and 5 says this. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility. That's a great way to clothe yourself. Dress yourself in humility. Put it on and keep it on as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. If we begin to walk in humility out of obedience to the Lord, from time to time, he will bless you for walking that way. Humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, the King James says, in due time, he will lift you up in honor. He will honor you if you'll humble yourself, if you'll make yourself abased. If you know, there are certain people that are way better than that than I am, and I'm trying to become like that personally. And we're about to take communion tonight. The word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but let a person examine themselves and then take communion. We're going to give you just a moment either to make an altar or come to the altar or bow your head and just examine yourself if there's something in your life that God himself is working in you. He'll let you know. And if it's God, don't act in pride. Do what he tells you to do. Tell him, Father, forgive me for being like that. Help me, Lord. Help me not to be that way. In the name of Jesus, amen.